Smart manufacturing and Industry 4.0 will get a huge boost from 5G technology in the form of wireless private networks with the latency and reliability required for manufacturing. But manufacturing is just one of the industry segments that will benefit from dedicated private networks. So what are private networks and where else will we find them? Let's find out in this episode of All Things 5G. Hello, my name is Dylan McGrath, and I'm here with my colleague, Jesse Cavazos. We are from Keysight Technologies, and we are the hosts of the All Things 5G podcast. People say that All Things 5G is the Taoyuan of 5G podcasts because it dives deep into the business, technology, and policy issues surrounding the fifth generation wireless communications technology. Isn't that right, Jesse?
Really? Who says that?
Well, I think it's just a saying that's popular among people who are connoisseurs of 5G podcasts. I'm sure you're well aware that Taoyuan was the gold medal winner in the 10-meter platform diving event at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. So, he dives deep and so does All Things 5G. Get it?
Well, actually, Olympic divers are judged by execution, not the depth of their dives. And since the pool is only one depth, typically, like 5 meters, I don't think any one diver dives deeper than the other, Dylan. And I'm sure they can all touch the bottom easily. So I think your comparison is flawed.
Well, perhaps the saying is more of a comment on the execution of the podcast then.
In any case, I'm pretty sure I've never heard anyone describe All Things 5G in this way.
All right, fair enough. What do you say we just move on?
Yeah, let's do that.
A reminder to our audience, please visit our website, keysight.com/find/allthings5G, where you can browse previous episodes, access additional resources, and subscribe to the All Things 5G for alerts on new episodes and the chance to get some cool All Things 5G swag.
The topic of this episode is 5G private networks. And as we've discussed in previous episodes, 3GPP's release 16 contains a number of enhancements for 5G, including some specifically for private networks. Private networks is a really big topic. For that reason, we have decided to break our discussion of private networks into multiple episodes. In this episode, we will be looking at what private networks are and talking about some specific use cases. We'll get more into the nuts and bolts regarding setting up, testing, and running private networks in subsequent episodes.
As opposed to the major public networks that we use to make calls and access data on our smartphones, private networks are smaller cellular networks with their own dedicated bandwidth and infrastructure that are used in smart manufacturing, education, medicine, and other specialized applications. For this episode, we'll be joined by Jagadish Dentulgiri, General Manager for Keysight's Private and Dedicated Networks Business Unit, and Kartikesh Raju, Director of Business Development and Partnerships.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really interesting. Private networks is a hot topic, and it's one of the areas where 5G can really shine as a technology that enables orders of magnitude improvement.
Absolutely. But, you know, I kind of think you just like saying orders of magnitude.
Well, yeah, I like saying orders of magnitude. Who doesn't like saying orders of magnitude? I think you like saying it too.
Okay, we will be right back with Jagadish and Kartikesh.
Did you miss Keysight's Open RAN Transformation virtual event? No worries. The event is now available on demand. Hear directly from industry and technical experts on the state of the market and challenges across the network lifecycle, and gain insights on how to overcome them. Open RAN Transformation is a unique event designed for chief network officers, engineering executives, and their direct staff. It includes presentations from renowned consulting firms DeLauro and Frost & Sullivan, demonstration with industry leaders including Team Innovation Lab, Xilinx, and ITRI, and an expert panel to answer answer your most pressing questions around product verification and system integration. Watch on demand by registering at keysight.com/find/oranevent. You will receive early access to DeRoe's white paper, the market upside with Open RAN, and the results of Frost & Sullivan survey with mobile operators on ORAN perceptions, challenges, and deployment plans. Happy watching.
Okay, we are back. We are joined now by Jagadish Dantaluri, the general manager of Keysight's private and dedicated networks business unit, and Karthikesh Raju, the director of business development and partnerships for that business unit. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dylan and Jesse.
Thank you, Dylan and Jesse.
Okay, so we, as you know, we're talking about private networks. Just to give us a baseline, can we start out by addressing, when we talk about private networks, what exactly are we talking about? And Karthikesh, I'll ask you to answer this one.
Thank you, Dylan. See, when we talk about a network, a traditional one, for example, that's a network where, say, for example, you get your service from. Now, it's built for a large coverage. It's built for a large number of customers, say tens of millions of customers, whereas a private network is pretty much in the opposite end. What it means is it's meant for a few customers, a restricted number of customers, a restricted number of endpoints. It's like a local network. Think of it like a wireless LAN for your house. Now, you take that, you scale it out into a factory or into a small enclosed network. That is what is a private network. Uh-huh. One of the key things, of course, over here is this is TCP/IP compliant, just like a traditional network.
So who is building these networks and why? Is it exclusively about smart factories and Industry 4.0? Jagadish, I'll ask you to answer this one.
Yeah, absolutely, Dylan. It's definitely not just about Industry 4.0. We are seeing implementations of private networks in multiple other verticals. Why they are implementing, it's mostly dependent on the use cases and what is the benefit that they are getting by implementing private networks in these verticals. So let me take a few examples and explain and run through them. So the biggest thing, of course, is the smart manufacturing or Industry 4.0 that we call. The private networks are key in enabling the digital transformation that this industry is vying, particularly like the closed loop video-based and artificial intelligence-based manufacturing, where the data throughputs have to be high, the coverage has to be pretty good. The reliability and stability has to be there to enable safety, security, and then the latencies have to be very low. And that is the main thing that what private networks is bringing, and also relieving them from the connections to their machines, such as robotic arms, etc. That is the reason why the Industry 4.0 or smart manufacturing is vying for PDN. While other industries, let's take mining. Mining is a very harsh environment.
Yeah.
Right. Some are small mining areas, some are very big mining areas. Most of these mining do require connections. For example, let's say autonomous vehicle without drivers can transport mined material from one place to the other. And these require a very stable and reliable connection. Without that stability, the security and safety may be impacted. And of course, one also want to monitor the whole mining area with video cameras, right? These video cameras can be wired in certain cases. In many places, the wiring may not even be possible. In these cases, the 5G is important, and 5G enables much higher data throughputs compared to LTE and much better stability and safety. And scalability. And coming to the other vertical, let's say energy. Most of the offshore rigs, for example, today, they are reliable on satellite communications, which is the data throughputs of satellite communication based technologies much less compared to 5G.
Sure.
5G is much cheaper compared to satellite communications. So that in that way, the reliable and stable connections that are needed for energy sector can be provided by 5G private networks. Now, let's go to ports, be it seaports or airports. Seaports, for example, obviously, their needs are very similar to a mining operator. 5G with wireless connections to some of their equipment that can be used to either import the goods can be moved, and that flexibility of movement can be provided with seaport, mm-hmm. in seaports. Now, coming to the airports, it's multiple fold. The air carriers, after they land, if they are able to start download the engine data onto their servers before even the plane docks to the gates, they save a lot of time so that the plane can take off for the next leg much sooner than later. And also, the other important thing is for the normal travelers, the Wi-Fi connections that we see in many of the airports, the quality is much desired. The 5G private networks will enable that to get that to that quality. And of course, defense and government, particularly in the case of training the soldiers in the advanced battle scenarios, one may want to install AR or VR based battle scenarios. And the private network based on 5G would enable that. And also, of course, the other thing that you see, the Amazons, the Walmarts, particularly in the warehouses and retail. In these warehouses, particularly when trying to push the goods from one place to the other place, particularly in the warehouses. One may want to know where the material or the goods are present, and they can tag that with wireless connections where you require a lot of wireless connections and possibly the automated guided vehicles to move the goods from one place to the other place. Is a requirement, and private networks enable that. Of course, supply chains, retail, and then coming to the schools, right? In many areas, schools and rural areas do require a wireless connection or some type of connection. The CBRS-based private networks will enable that. Mm-hmm. And we're also hearing certain use cases in medical field as well, like the remote surgery. While that won't be very prevalent in the near future, what may be prevalent is the connected patients or a doctors who may be present in a remote area and one needs a consulting from that particular doctor. The private networks with high-quality connection would enable that. So these are some of the examples, Dylan, that we are seeing in multiple verticals, and not just necessarily in industry 4.0 and manufacturing, but in many other verticals.
Yeah, it sounds like quite a few other verticals. But would it be fair to say that you expect that the industry 4.0 and smart manufacturing would be kind of the primary use case?
Definitely. That is where most of the money is, or at least the industry is expecting. The mining and energy sector are also prime candidates, but particularly the energy sector, LTE or the utilities, LTE is good enough. You don't need 5G private networks. And there have been installations already present in these two verticals using LTE. Mm-hmm. But in manufacturing, 5G is a prime candidate. Without 5G, they may not even go to the wireless networks, because in these mission critical applications, the reliability of the connection is so important. The latency, the ultra reliable latency, is so important that the 4G is not able to provide. And that's the reason why this industry hasn't picked up the wireless till now. And with 5G, it is prime time for the manufacturing industry to go that way.
Maybe I can add a little bit over there, Dylan, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Typically, also, what one needs is a push from external things, right? What has happened over here is the industries have joined together and formed a consortium, 5G ECIA. And this consortium is actually defining how 5G will be used in Industry 4.0. That is acting as a big catalyst for manufacturing to be the prime sector. That's not happened yet in transportation and logistics or in mining, etc. So we need that catalyst, and industry is putting forward that catalyst.
Okay, thank you.
So you touched upon in great details, you know, what are some of the specific benefits for each and every industry. For my own benefit, can you kind of maybe summarize or clarify what are the benefits of a dedicated private network overall?
Sure. Thank you, Jesse. Let me explain that with an example. I mean, there's a hospital in the US that's actually having a dedicated private network where they take scans. They take those scans, they then upload it to a mobile edge where an artificial intelligence algorithm flags the scans for cancer. Now, let's keep this use case in mind. What does it need? And that kind of peels out the benefits. So first one is you need a very high quality data link to be able to take high resolution video and send it out to the mobile edge. So that's the first benefit over there. You know, having a reliable connectivity, having high performance connectivity. That's step number one. Second thing, what do you want to do? You want this to be available at all points in time. This is going to be an enclosed network where it will be available at all points in time. The third point is pretty much data integrity and safety. Now, this has got sensitive patient data. You don't want that data to be hacked, or you don't want that data to go out of the hospital. So that's where it's kind of bounded. It's firewalled within the hospital in a mobile edge, where the mobile edge actually computes and flags out scans. But pretty much everything resides within that particular establishment, and you don't have any interface with the outside world. So that kind of creates full flexibility, control, isolates the data, creates safety, and also enhances the security. So in short, what we can say is it kind of brings in performance. With that, we can talk about reliability and availability. Adds a layer of security. The hospital in this case has full and flexible control. The data is isolated. So all of this together can form a cluster of benefits that drive industries, hospitals, and all the sectors that Jagdish spoke towards having a private and dedicated network.
Oh, thank you. That clarifies things a lot for me. Another point I wanted to maybe expand or have you expand a little bit on, Jagadish, is I think you touched upon how the manufacturing industry 4.0 did not adopt, 4G. And so 5G is bringing a lot to the table. Many of these factories or other facilities already operate their own networks. So can you again kind of reiterate how 5G changed the game for them?
Absolutely. So if you just take the some of the automated factories today, all of them are connected with wired Ethernet connections with industrial Ethernet, particularly like with Profinet and other protocols. What 5G brings, or let's take as an example of wireless. All these are wired today, right? As an example, a robotic arm which is assembling a car dashboard the car front glass. All these robotic arms, they are moving, but they are stationary in the sense that they do not move from that location. Only the robotic arms will move. So let's say, as an example, if I want to convert an assembly line that is manufacturing a Toyota Camry to a Corolla, it may take a few months, if not years, to convert that assembly line. Now, let's assume that I have a mobile robotic arms that can move from one assembly line to the other assembly line. It is possible for me to convert that assembly line into something else in days rather than weeks. That is called adaptive manufacturing. All that can be only possible with wireless connection, and the wired Ethernet would not be able to do. Some other examples that we are seeing is like the build to order. What that it means, nothing is manufactured until an order comes from a customer. And the assembly line or any of these things can be jump started right away after the order comes. That means a lot of automation, a lot of integration in the supply chain with the assembly line, with the inventory, with the raw materials, and with the finished goods and where they are, all need to be integrated. And that can only possible with the integration of IT and OT side, which I call the operational technology with the internet technology, the normal informational technology. And that can only possible if you break that silos. And one way to break that silos is to bring these two sides together, and 5G, what it brings as a digital transformation will help that. And a few other use cases can be the AI-driven closed-loop manufacturing, where the manufacturing is solely dependent on the video input from the assembly line to a mobile edge cloud, where the AI algorithms and machine language algorithms will process the data, conclude onto something, and send that conclusion over to the factory floor. And many other examples that you can think of where the wireless connection or the wireless relieving the manufacturing plant of the wired connection will help you to transform. And so these are some of the advantages and the motivations for private networks right now.
All right. So ultimately, do you expect that most, if not all, manufacturing facilities in all industries will adopt 5G private networks?
Not necessarily, right? Again, that totally depends upon where the industry today. What I would expect is all the factories or the manufacturing verticals who are already automating certain things with either Ethernet connection or something else, they are the prime candidates to advance in their evolution with 5G wireless connection. Let's say, as an example of the garment industry today. The garment industry is mostly dependent on the physical labor, and this kind of industry is not a prime candidate for 5G PDN. It takes some time. It's not necessary, right? It's all about need. It's all about what use cases, what benefits that they are bringing, and what is the business case for any of this transformation. So it all depends upon the industry. Auto industry is a prime candidate for 5G PDN, or the chemical industry, or the process automation and process process control based industries are the prime candidates for 5G private networks.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, certainly. We are going to be talking much more about logistics in subsequent episodes, including the logistics of setting up and testing and running a private network. But just for starters, from a regulatory point of view, do you need a license to operate your own private network? Karthik, do you want to take this one?
Sure. I mean, whenever we talk about a communication network, a wireless communication network or a mobile communication network, the first thing that you think is license, right? So, so let's take that angle. So there are different ways by which you could actually install a private network. The first and foremost one, and it's totally geography dependent, is that you have a possibility to obtain your own license. Now, Germany, for example, has gone through that route. They have dedicated a band, 3.7, 3.8 gigahertz band, wherein industries can apply. It's going to be local, and they can get a license for a certain period of time. This is one model that, you know, is primarily encouraging the manufacturing sector to apply for licenses and spurring the innovation in private networks. The second model is actually take the existing guys, I mean the operators, and ask them to deploy the private networks on your behalf. So they still hold the license, but they will be the ones who will deploy the private network because they ultimately own the license. Now, countries like Finland, for example, Russia, that's the model that is there. France also is following the same model where it's operator-driven, but it's for a specific industry and specific region. And how that can get played out, it can get played out in the form of a slice, which we will probably talk in the next question. The third model is the US model, where you have the CBRS band. Jagdish spoke about the CBRS band in an earlier question. Now, this is called shared spectrum access. What do you mean by a shared spectrum access? It basically means that you have a database, and based on the database, you actually get to choose that you will actually transmit in that particular band, and the database is getting updated frequently. Of course, there are some priority elements to it, and there are some rules by which you will actually decide who gets what, but that's an example of a shared spectrum. And then there are other ways by which certain old spectrum is reformed for certain purposes. UK is reforming some of the frequencies. So predominantly what we can say is industries can be the operator in that sense, get their own license and a frequency, the German model. You can have a database, the US model with the CBRS, that's shared spectrum, or you can let the existing operators run a private network for you and they get special permissions for that. That's the third model.
I understand there's different license models. There's also different deployment models, and that in some respect is probably related to the different licenses. Can you go over what are the different deployment models for private and dedicated networks and walk us through each of these, what the criteria are for deciding which one to choose? Jagadish, would you like to take that one?
Absolutely, Jesse. So at a high level, again, it all depends upon the customer or the end user business case. So at a high level, there are four different models that we are seeing. In the extreme case, let's say a mission critical factory or a mining company where they're in a very isolated area, the network is totally isolated. What does that mean is that the end user, in this case, it can be a factory or a mining, they have their own RF frequencies, they have their own G.B's, their own core network, their own mobile edge cloud, totally installed and implemented inside the premises of that factory. What we call this as a fully isolated implementation or the deployment model. The communication to the outside world can happen, but mostly that through a firewall, the communication is mostly limited for many number of reasons. One is security. They want total control of how the data is moved, where it is moved, and so forth. So this is most of the implementations in the world we will see in this way. And the other extreme would be with the 5G standalone slicing model, where the operator, using their own public infrastructure, would allocate certain slices, assuring certain quality of service to the end user. And the applications, if they are okay with that quality, will implement this type of private networks. Of course, the security is much less compared to the previous model that I mentioned. The data, the operators, if they want, they can definitely see who are on their network. The data can be encrypted, of course, but the data is possibly moving outside of the factory premises or the end customer premises. And there are other models. In one of the model where the radio is shared with the public operator, possibly the end customer do not have either the frequencies or the knowledge to implement the radio. However, the control plane and the data plane will reside, and also the data itself, the mobile edge cloud will reside inside the factory. There, the end customer still has the control of who can see the data, and the data is still very secure inside in their own facility. In the next model would be not only the radio would be shared with the public network, but also the control plane would be shared with the public network, but the data plane where the user data is transported and the mobile edge cloud is still inside the premises. The motivation for this is, hey, the radio resources are not there with the end customer, and also they are not knowledgeable enough about maintaining the network. And so the operator would still control how to provision the devices. They still provide the spectrum and so forth, but the end user data is still present inside the factory. So the data assurance and the security assurance is still be present. So broadly, these are the four different models that we are seeing in the industry. I would suspect the first model, which is the total isolation, will be more applicable in the manufacturing sector. And the last one would be more applicable in the supply chain and other industries where the knowledge of running the network is not that much there, but it is okay to share the data or save the data in the public cloud.
All right. Well, I think that's as far as we can go in the nitty-gritty details of 5G private networks in this episode. Can we close out this episode with maybe a word from you, Kartik, on how you expect this industry to evolve going forward?
Well, sure. I mean, this is actually the what I would call the growth case or the growth use case for 5G, right? 5G is predicated on a triangle of three use cases. Very, very fast internet, which we call enhanced mobile broadband. Then the second one is UR LLC, which is, you know, very low latency, ultra low latency. And then the third one is massive machine-to-machine communication. We already saw the promise of the first case. Now, for 5G to go beyond and deliver the other two, this is where the crux is. We'll have to look at ultra low latency, we'll have to look at massive machine-to-machine communication. And where does these two meet? They meet where 5G private networks meet. So obviously this is actually going to be a big industry as far as we know, as far as we are tracking. And we are all excited to be part of it, to be part of this growth story where we can see finally mobile communications move beyond the realm of the end user.
Okay, well, Jagadish, Karthik, thank you both very much for joining us on All Things 5G. This has been a great discussion, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Jesse and Dylan.
Thank you very much, Jagadish, Jesse, and Dylan. It was actually a very wonderful discussion.
And we're back. That was a great first installment in what I suspect will be an ongoing series of discussions about private networks.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I mean, it was enlightening to me to hear Kartik and Jagadish talk about the different license options that, you know, manufacturers have to deploy those private networks, and also how some industries will be adopting private networks sooner than others.
Right. Well, I think the specific licensing requirements in various countries is very interesting. I can imagine that'll probably be a factor to consider when companies decide where to set up manufacturing facilities. Okay, well, I think that's going to just about do it for this episode. We'd like to once again thank our guests, Jagadish Dantaluri and Karthikesh Raju. And most of all, we'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of All Things 5G.
And a reminder to go to the All Things 5G webpage, keysight.com/find/allthings5G, where you can find the past episodes, get additional resources, and of course, subscribe. Of course, you can also subscribe via iTunes, Spotify, or whichever platform you use to get your podcast.
And watch for the next episode of All Things 5G, which will be available December 1st. Until then, this is All Things 5G, signing off.